about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Thursday, as my ex-partner in crime, Jill Metter, would say. Anyway, it is. It's real nice out there. Currently in the Gabe Gadsden Mezzanet Center here in the studio, 85 degrees, 40% humidity. 86 at Slapout, 85 at the May Ranch, 86 at Medford, 87 at Lahoma, 89 at Eric. Mangum, you're the winner. You are the hottest spot in the state of Oklahoma right now at 91 degrees. Hobart, you're at 89. Out here in the West Texas Panhandle Mezzanet Center, we got 86 at Lipscomb, 87 at Miami, 88 at Wellington, and 92 at Odell, straight south the Alps across the Red River there. This just come across my computer from the Oklahoma Forestry Department, a fuels and fire behavior advisory. And it looks like most of all southern Oklahoma is in, because of the cedars, is in advisory. In our listening area, we got Harmon, Jackson, Tillman, Kiowa County, Comanche, all the southern part of Oklahoma, and they took out Greer County. I don't know why, but Greer County's not in it. So anyway, we have a fuels and fire behavior advisory going on. So something is going on that they had put. This is the first time I've ever seen them put this out, and it's big red checkers, and they've got it going on. So anyway, according to this here, persistent record-breaking heat and well below normal rainfall have led to flash drought development across the southern area this summer. This rapid drought onset and underlying dryness have unlocked the availability of large dead fuels and live canopy fuels for combustion over an expanding portion of the geographic area. These fuels are contributing to fire behavior that increases the resistance to control the wildfires burning in high-risk pine timber and oak juniper fuel beds across this advisory area, and mainly a lot of it's juniper for southwestern Oklahoma. So there you have it. Be careful out there, people. If you're going out there working on something, welding, cutting, whatever, make sure you have a fire watch guy person, not have to be a guy, but a person with you, and any ways of distinguishing a small fire before it turns into a big one. So that's what's going on there. Today we start a three-part series with Gary McManus, the Oklahoma State climatologist and Mezzanet guru, I call him. Today will be part one, tomorrow will be part two, and Monday will be part three. Very interesting conversation I had with him on the flash drought. He just had a meeting with the governor's drought advisory commission. And so anyway, the first part will be coming up later in the show. Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Tomorrow, good news, tomorrow we're going back live on Facebook and on our website. We got everything rolling now, so I'm happy. Tomorrow I have to start dressing properly again and the whole nine yards, because we'll be live, so it'll be exciting to get that back on track tomorrow. Well, let's get started and see what happened overnight in the farm world. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading, and optimism that the Black Sea Grain Initiative, the agreement that had allowed shipments of ag products out of Ukraine, will be renewed. Corn and beans were little changed overnight. The Turkey foreign minister is in Moscow right now with high-level talks with his Russian counterpart, according to media reports. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 7 3/4 cents to $5.99 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 10.5 cents to 7.21 and a quarter a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery rose 0.5 cents to 4.81 and a quarter a bushel. Soybeans for November delivery gained 0.5 cents to 13.87 and a quarter a bushel. Soy meal fell 1.60 to 4.0860 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.52 cents to 63.15 cents a pound. Ethanol production falls to the lowest in 3 months. Output dropped to a three-month low, while inventories fell to the lowest since last November, according to data from the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel dropped an average of 1.007 million barrels a day, and that's down from 1.048 barrels a day. In the Midwest, the largest producing region, output fell to 952,000 barrels a day from 992,000 barrels a day. Ethanol inventories through the week ending August 25th dropped to 21.609 million barrels. That's down from 22.79 million a week earlier. That's the lowest level for stockpiles since the 7 days it ended on November 11th of last year, according to the EIA. Extremely dry weather is creating tinderbox-like conditions in parts of western Kansas, eastern Colorado, southern Oklahoma, according to the National Weather Service, and North Texas. A weather watch has been issued starting tomorrow afternoon amid increasingly ripe conditions for wildfires. At this point, the agency said, that's the National Weather Service, is not quite certain how long the dry weather will last. Air quality alerts are in effect for much of eastern Nebraska due to the Canadian wildfires. People who are at risk, the elderly and the children, likely will be more susceptible to illnesses from the smoke, the agency said. Well, let's take a break. When I come back, I'll have some updated grain prices going on right now. See what happened at the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. Let's see how the cows are selling in the north part of Oklahoma. Butcher cows, bred cows, butcher bulls. We'll see all what's going on there. And then segment number two, we'll have a conversation with Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet Center, and he is an Oklahoma State climatologist. And we had a really good conversation. Matter of fact, it was almost 40 minutes long, so I broke it up into three segments, and we'll be ready to rock and roll. Come back to the let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
The Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right. Pride in who we are. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks here, inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Brought to you by Doug Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at elkcityrodeo.com, at Circle A Westernwear, and at the Arena Ticket Office. The Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. See you there.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hypro. For Hypro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, our neighbors out here to the west, Dozer, Texas, it's 89 degrees. Heat index is 87. Humidity's at 35%. Dew point's at 57. Winds out of southeast at 13 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 17 miles an hour. 1.53 inches of rain they received in the whole month of August. Red flag minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature right now is 84 degrees. Okay, before I get started, I know a lot of you guys know that the cafe, the Carter Cafe in Carter, Oklahoma, it's in the center of Beckham County, and it's about where a majority of your farmers meet in the morning for breakfast. Well, anyway, Nelson Brazel, I hope I said that right, the owner of the cafe, has come down. He's battling cancer, so they're having a benefit for him, and I want to announce this a couple times between now and then. And there's a gun raffle going on. It's a Diamondback AR-15 30-round magazine buttstock raffle, $20 a ticket. And there's also on September 9th at 6:30, that's when they're going to draw for the rifle. It will be at the Carter Fire Department there, right there at the stoplight at Carter. How's that? And can't miss it. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of things going on that day. Pulled pork sandwiches and burgers, plates by donations. There's going to be bounce houses. There's going to be cornhole. There's going to be a watermelon eating contest and some music. So the watermelon eating contest, I'll have to go and get some video of that. I can see that's going to be fun. There's going to be a silent auction with great items, amazing baked goods. So anyway, Nelson is probably one of the best cooks in Beckham County, and he'd give you shirt off the back for you, anybody. So if you guys will, please attend this. And if you want to buy some raffle tickets, here's a couple numbers. You can get a hold of some people. Call Lori at 580-799-0957 or Carrie at 580-383-8860. And I think I seen where Kelly Ripto had posted it on her realtor Facebook page. If you want to get on there and see the same thing I'm looking at, and I'll post it on our on my Facebook page and on the radio Facebook page. But anyway, it'd be and all the proceeds will go for his medical needs. So anyway, it's a bad deal, but Nelson's tough and he can handle it. And I miss his cooking. The cafe's been closed since he's been diagnosed with this. So anyway, just wanted to announce that. Okay, let's get on with updated grains prices. Let me update it real quick. Corn for September, 462. December, 480. Soybeans for September, 1372. November, 1377. Soybean meal for September, 420.40. Soybeans meal for October, 406.20. That's all short tons. Soybean oil, September 6610, October 6434. Hard red winter wheat, 728, up 9 today. December 729 is down 2, though. Oats for September, 474. December, 502. Live cattle, August, 179.72. October, 180.47. December, 184.40. February, 188.45. Feeder cattle are down a little bit. 95 cents for August at 249.10. Down 32 cents for September at 252.30. Lean hogs are in the red all the way to February. October's 82.27. December, 74.17. February, 78.42. Cotton's climbing. October, 88 cents a pound. December, 87 cents a pound. I got more on cotton for you towards the last segment of the show. Let's see what happened in Hobart yesterday. Looks like they had a good sale. 3 to 4 weight steers bringing anywhere from 275 to 320. 4 to 5 weights, 250 to 279. 6 to 7 weights, 210 to 256, and 7 to 8 weights, we're bringing around 223. And on the heifers, we got 260 for 300 pounders, 2 to 3s, 5 to 6 weight heifers bringing up to 241. Cows, butcher cows, were bringing up to 122.50. Looked like the average overall for all the butcher cows yesterday was right at 112. We got some the butcher bulls were bringing up to $1.36, and bred cows, it looks like anywhere from $1,625 to $2,200. So anyway, looks like they had a pretty good show yesterday. Up north, this so far this week with slaughter cows, slaughter bulls, and bred cows and pairs. Quite a few have been sold this week. Number double what they were last week. Looks like compared to last week, slaughter cows and bulls $2 to $4 higher. Demand was moderate. Slaughter or supply included 15% feeder cattle, 77% slaughter cattle, 8% replacement cattle. How about that? And then just a friendly reminder, the Hobart Stockyards will not be having their sheep and goat sale this Saturday. Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening Friday. And I'm pretty sure Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be closed Monday for Labor Day. And then I think Tuesday, Woodward Livestock Auction will be closed. And taking a wild guess, I tried to look on Facebook while ago and I didn't see it. I'm sure Hollis will not be having a sale this Saturday, but call down there to be sure. Okay, breaker cows, quite a few of them. We're bringing anywhere from $1.09 up to $1.27.50. Boner cows, we're bringing anywhere from $0.95 to $1.15. Lean cows, we're bringing anywhere from $0.85 to $1.09. Bulls, looks like they were bringing anywhere from $1.17 to $1.36 was the top end, but the average price of the big bulls was $1.32.28. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, were bringing up to $17.85. They had some 5 to 8 year olds was bringing up to $19.75. I don't know what the deal with this. They must have been awful good, but they looks like they showed selling 18 head 5 to 8 year olds brought anywhere from $18.50 to $2,700 for a bred cow. And then cow calf pairs, 5 to 8 year olds weighing 1145, we're bringing $22.50 to $2,750. These are pairs with 150 pound calves or less on them. Cow calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150 to 300 pound calves on it, was bringing up to $2,750. And cow calf pairs, medium and large number ones with over 300 pound calves on them, there was just a few of them, but they were young cows, 2 to 4 year olds, brought $26.35. So that's what happened in the north part of Oklahoma so far this week at the sale barns. We'll have some more information on some more sales tomorrow. So, all right, Oklahoma Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture. as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 a year and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org. And like I told you guys last week when I went to that meeting last Thursday night, I believe it was. Anyway, they care. There was six or seven county representatives in there, and they make decisions there to go back to each county board, make more decisions, to send it to the capital to see how things get worked. And they're all about having your back, I promise you. Well, let's take a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking with Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet Center, and he's also our state climatologist for Oklahoma. Anyway, we're going to start the first part of the three-part series of talking with him.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 28th. 1,573 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 486 brought 278. 19 at 632 brought 268. 14 at 672 brought 246. 13 at 782 brought 252.50. 20 at 872 brought 235. 10 at 979 brought 227. 27 at 1057 brought 227. 7 head of heifers at 481 brought 233. 9 at 554 brought 239. 8 at 646 brought 235.50. 6 at 689 brought 219. 13 at 750 brought 231. 11 at 813 brought 228. 3 at 855 brought 215. Butcher cows were 40 to 125.50. Butcher bulls brought 100 to 139. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go.
Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. Slap out. Currently is 88. Feels 88. Dew points at 59. Humidity's at 37. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the south at 15 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 22. Sunset at 8:12 p.m. tonight. 95 today. Tomorrow hot, 97. Saturday, 97. Sunday, 98. Labor Day, 98. It's going to be a hot weekend. Looks like the whole through the week we're going to have wind anywhere from 10 to 20 miles an hour. It looks like Labor Day is going to be pretty windy. All right, a couple days ago I had a really long, good conversation with Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet, and here's a conversation, the first of a three-part conversation that I had with him.
All right, welcome back. On the phone with me right now is state climatologist for Oklahoma, Gary McManus. He's also the guy on Facebook on Oklahoma Mesonet that's always got the great pictures and memes of everything. And so welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Recently you were did a presentation for the Governor's Emergency Drought Commission. Can you tell us a little bit of what how that went?
Yeah, Secretary of Ag Blaine Arthur asked me to come speak. I spoke last year in September 2022, you know, when we were in that horrible flash drought. So they had me back to maybe talk about where we are now. And unfortunately, I told them we're back in a flash drought. So we pretty much alleviated drought over most of Oklahoma through all those rains we had in the spring into the early summer. So we really just had far southwest Oklahoma and north central Oklahoma officially a drought on the U.S. Drought Monitor. Now, individuals out there may think, well, I was still in drought, but at least on the U.S. Drought Monitor, that's where the drought remained. But, you know, over the last 30 to 45 days, the heat kicked up, the rains went away, and just like last year, just like last summer, that's a sure ingredient for flash drought. So I told them all about that flash drought that's kicking up across the southern half of the state out into west central Oklahoma. So the Elk City area is going into flash drought. Well, it's not a shock to you folks out there, I'm sure. So it's really people ask me to come speak if something bad's happening. So that's how I generally show up.
Yeah, well, one thing about it, there were you're from Buffalo, man. It's been great for them this year, especially even into the panhandle where it's generally dry. And you know, Arnett, basically from Packsaddle Bridge north and in that area right there, they've been blessed with some really good rains this year.
Right, you know, it was basically the eastern half of the panhandle down through northwest Oklahoma, down through central Oklahoma, that got the bulk of those really heavy rainfall, you know, from, let's say, May through really right through early July. So we had some areas across west central Oklahoma that were 300 to 400% above normal rainfall. I'm thinking of those areas like Margo, you know, other areas down there to the south of that. So that's the area that got the most rainfall. And, you know, it sort of gets away from us that we see all those big rains, and we tend to generalize those to a larger area than what they really occurred. So sometimes these flash droughts, when they occur, they sort of sneak up on us, and that's what this one did. We got our eyes fixated on those big rains in that region, and we sort of lost track of what was you know, it's very uncommon to have those rains as we get into the big part of summer. So it was certainly welcome, and that kept us milder than normal as well. So, you know, that May and June and even parts of July were pretty mild for a summer in Oklahoma. But man, when the summer in Oklahoma kicks back in, it sure takes the breath out of you. You forgot what it was like, and then when you get back in it, it's like, oh wow, I'm glad we had that cooler than normal weather earlier this summer. But we're sure in the heat now, even though we're a little bit cool now. The heat's gonna come back, so it's definitely not going away.
No, it's still August. It's in September. You know, I judge the weather out here in western Oklahoma off the Elk City Rodeo of Champions. It's either going to be blistering hot or it's going to be raining and cold. So it looks like exactly. We got the hot this year.
Exactly. You know, one of the weird things about this summer was how humid it was across western Oklahoma, which is really not something that I remember from my time growing up in Buffalo. You know, we had heat index values up in the 110s up in Harper County this summer, which it really doesn't happen that often out there in the high plains, you know, and up and down that western tier of counties bordering the Texas Panhandle. So a lot of that heat index goes a long way, or a little bit goes a long way when you get into those heat index values. Bit of a shock to the system for folks out west.
Too. Oh, yeah. Humidity, you know, crops, the corn, the milo, alfalfa, all those crops. It doesn't matter whether you're in the panhandle or down here in Hollis, you know, humidity is a blessing, really, in a way. Even though we don't like it as humans, the crops do like them. So there's that's good. And how about those records that I seen you post on Facebook on over there by Miami for heat index? How about that?
Right, that's kind of crazy. So we broke the Oklahoma Mesonet's record highest heat index twice in one day. Miami had it first with 126 degrees back on, I don't remember the exact date, August 11th, I think it was.
Right.
And then a couple hours later, Jay, which is just south of Miami in Adair County, it hit 127 on the heat index scale. So, you know, people might like humidity, or the crops might like humidity, but I don't think people are going to like 127 degrees.
No.
That's pretty unbearable.
No, humans and especially black cattle. They were hiding under cactuses, so pretty. I mean, they were, but you know, it's a good saying. But so, what was causing these high heat indexes? Was there some moisture from the Gulf trapped over there in eastern Oklahoma?
I think it was several different things. One, it was all the rainfall that we had previously this summer in that region, probably kicked up the evaporation and put it into the air around us. Also, we had easterly winds during that time, so probably some of that moisture from over off the lakes in northern Arkansas. And I think they got a little bit of the corn transpiration from up there in the corn belt. I think they got into that a little bit up there in northeast Oklahoma. And there's some corn up there in northeast Oklahoma as well. But I think all that working together gave us way too much moisture. So when the heat dome was over, it sort of trapped all that moisture down close to the surface and just kicked that heat index up. And it was really nasty. And remember, the heat index, that's just considering the air in the shade. So that's not taking into account the wind and also the sunshine. So if you were out in the sun on the heat index value days of like 127, you were probably in danger of having some really bad health effects, you know, just after 10, 15, 20 minutes. Being out in the sun and that. So really dangerous heat that we saw during that time frame. I don't think we're going to get back to that type of dangerous heat, but, you know, when that heat dome builds back in as we get into this weekend, you know, we could see those heat index values kick back up into the 110-degree range and get up into the triple digits again and just the actual air temperature. So always something to keep in mind when we're in August and early September, that temperature can come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and the older I get, the worse I hate it. So, but there's,
that's true.
But there's a, well, back in, so we got these crazy wind, rain pattern started there in late May and lasted through June, and even got a few showers there in the first part of July. Can you tell us, you know, you see all this stuff, and, you know, in social media, you believe what you want to from whoever it's coming from. But, you know, everybody's like, it's the El Nino, it's changing, and, you know, the La Nina's right. Gone away. So what really, because that's pretty unusual that we get that kind of rain during wheat harvest. Wheat harvest is usually, for the most part, is dry, and they can get it done. But, man, them rains moved in, and just as it got dry enough to go after it again, here comes another route. Does your memory play back what was causing all that?
Right, so it's a little bit tough to say. I don't think I know exactly what was going on, other than there was a big heat dome entrenched over the southern plains, centered over Texas. So while we were getting all those rains, they were getting 110, 115 degree temperatures. But that air circulates around that heat dome clockwise. So, you know, that big high pressure system down over Texas caused us to get in the northwesterly flow, so we get those storms building up every day in the high plains of Colorado, western Kansas, and they would just travel down to the southeast and hit that area from the eastern panhandle down through western Oklahoma down into central Oklahoma. I think that's what the bulk of it was. Now, we did transition from La Nina into El Nino this summer, but, you know, El Nino is a sea surface temperature change that causes changes in the air temperature, or the air circulation patterns down there off the west coast of South America, which then changes the air circulation patterns across the globe, since the air is all connected. It's all one big fluid, basically. But the atmospheric circulation changes hadn't really kicked in much. They still haven't really kicked in as much as we would expect. So I don't think that the El Nino can be, I guess, blamed or thanked for that rainfall, however you want to put it. I think it was more that big high pressure dome over Texas that just put us in that northwesterly flow from the northwest of us down to the southeast. But, you know, whatever it was, we'll certainly take it, and we'll look for some possible changes due to El Nino coming up, hopefully.
Is it the El Nino, if I remember? I don't know if it's something that I heard you or read what you said, or if it was something, because I follow you and Lacey Swope, nobody else, all right? And you're the two people I trust, and because you're homegrown, how's that? And and you know Oklahoma, so especially growing up in Buffalo, but the El Nino, it's mainly for our fall-winter pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more of a fall through early spring, but it peaks in the winter. The impact to North America peak in the winter. So you're talking maybe October-ish through maybe March,
okay,
maybe a little bit into April usually, and it peaks, you know, in that November, December, January, February time frame. And then, of course, it depends on the El Nino. Each one's different. It tilts the odds towards, for this part of the country, a little bit wetter than normal weather, and a little bit warmer than normal, or cooler than normal weather, rather. So it sort of preempts any building of a drought as we get into spring. That's what we really look at it. And it can certainly help replenish any drought that's going on and replenish those soil moistures as we get into the cool months, because, you know, the winter is the driest part of the year. There's no doubt about that, especially across western Oklahoma. But it's also a time where you can alleviate drought, because anything that does fall, it doesn't get used by plants generally very much, because the plants are usually dormant or dead. And also we have we don't have a lot of evaporation going on at that time. So whatever falls, it's really good for recharging soil moisture. So if we get above normal moisture during the winter, that really helps us out as we get into spring if we end up in some type of a dry pattern.
Oh, yeah. I mean, being a farmer and rancher, we all like moisture during the winter, because it helps start off, the grass will green up better and be more healthier. The crops, especially the winter forage crops, will have a good start when things start warming up and they start growing good, and then we got to start praying for spring rains again. And so, well, Gary, hang on with me just a second. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Gary McManus, the state climatologist for Oklahoma and the mezzanet guru, I call him, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot. Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code FRIEND to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code FRIEND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FRIEND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
We're living in just such a world of automated. You call somewhere and you've got to go through how many buttons and numbers to get to someone that maybe might know what you're talking about. First National Bank, you call one phone number, you get to speak to me. The ease and convenience, I think, for the customer, and then just the confidence that they leave knowing they've built a relationship with their banker, the staff as well, that they can call on for help. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post-hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Gary McManus, Oklahoma State climatologist. I got two more for you. Anyway, it gets better. That was the calm one. And then we'll go to the next two segments. I'll have one more for you tomorrow. All right, I've picked for ag weather today, Hollis, Oklahoma, capital of Harmon County. Currently it's 91, feels like 90. Dew point's 57, humidity's 32, the winds are out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall, zilch for 10-day rainfall. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 87 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water. They don't have that 1-day average on 10-inch. But anyway, fractional water, 0.2. Sunset at 8.09, which is 8:09 p.m. Today hot, 99. Tonight 65 for a low. Tomorrow hot and 100 degrees with east to southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. And there we go. All right, let's see. Let's talk fertilizer. Fertilizer. As farmers grow closer to applying fall fertilizer, Josh Lavelle, director of fertilizer at StoneX, shares a few factors to consider. On the potash side, I think the values we're seeing out there are solid, he says. When we look at them versus some of the grain values out there, they're pretty good. Phosphate, however, could be a different story. Potash is a great value. Phosphate, I'm a little nervous about, he says. Lavelle also notes while phosphate values are up significantly, it may be a region-by-region situation. There are some retailers out there who bought product at a cheaper value on our that are selling at a cheaper value. Their farmers are not seeing the same kind of replacement cost increase as those who might be a little surprised at how high the value is. On the nitrogen market for anhydrous this fall, Linville is expecting a major application demand period due to the price in comparison to urea, UAN, historic values, and grain. Barring a wet and very cold early weather pattern, as we start getting into November, there should be a huge fall run on the anhydrous side. It's up a decent chunk from where it was from the summer lows, but even where they are at today, it's still a good buy. The takeaway. Overall, Linfield says it's time to have those conversations with retailers and distributors instead of waiting to book. I'd rather have this stuff locked up, he says, saying that I like it versus where grain prices are today. We look at this from an input and output relationship, so as one side moves, the other perspective moves with it. There you go. There's your fertilizer update. I should have called somebody today to see what dry fertilizer was, but I didn't. My bad. Not doing you a very good job there. All right. Guess what? Three more states are reporting mature corn, according to Successful Farming. For the week ending August 27th, the USDA Crop Progress Report shows three more of the top 18 growing states reported mature corn. The USDA reported that Minnesota, Indiana, and South Dakota reported their first percent of mature corn, while North Carolina's mature corn was 1% ahead of the mature corn in Texas. The USDA Crop Progress Report in North Carolina showed that 68% of the North Carolina's corn had matured. That's up 22% from the previous week and 1% ahead of the five-year average. Crop conditions in North Carolina also improved. And this was before the hurricane come through there last night and today. So, anyway, we'll get an update next week on that. Just 5% of the corn in the state rated as poor, and none of the corn rated very poor. According to the USDA, 74% of the state's corn rated in excellent to good condition, with the remaining 21% fair. Down here south of us and west of us in Texas, USDA reported that mature corn in Texas was 4% behind last year at this time, with 67% corn mature. While behind last year, this is 6% ahead of the five-year average. For the week ending August 27th, corn down south was rated at 49% excellent or good condition. 27% of the state's corn was rated, while the other 24% was rated poor to very poor. Let's check out South Dakota. The first 1% of mature corn was reported in South Dakota, according to the USDA Crop Progress Report for the week ending August 27th. This is 2% behind the five-year average, however, ahead of last year and at this time when none of the state's corn reported as mature. Corn conditions in South Dakota primarily rated as excellent, in good condition at 54%. 32 was rated as fair, and the remaining 14% was rated as poor to very poor. Other states for the week ending August 27th, USDA has reported mature corn in Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Nebraska, and Tennessee. And I'm sorry, Oklahoma's not in this, but they said they rated the 18 top states. We're not in the top 18 when it comes to corn. Colorado saw the least amount of growth in mature corn, increasing by only 1% from the previous week. Nationally, 9% of the corn crop has matured ahead of five-year average by 1%, as well as ahead of this time by 2%. Let's go with some cotton news real quick. Net export sales for the week ending on August 17th was 41,400 bales. This brings the 23-24 sales to about 5.4 million bales. Sales at the same time, the same point in 22-23 marketing year was at 7.7 million bales. Total new crop for 24-25 sales are already at 355,900 bales. Shipments for the week was at 220,200 bales, bringing export to date 565,500 compared with the 468,800 bales on the comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. And I think that was all the cotton news. I was sitting there looking at the NCC update. I don't see of anything there. So anyway, we're out of there. Okay, what else I got going on? Do I got time? Yes, I got time. A federal rule limiting agencies' powers to regulate water pollution will severely restrict protections for waters and wetlands throughout the country, but could be also subject to challenges from conservation groups that maintain a new rule exerts more federal jurisdiction than the U.S. Supreme Court in a May decision. A federal rule limited agencies, the rule published Tuesday to redefine waters of the United States, or WOTUS as we call it, are covered under the Clean Water Act, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and the Army Corps of Engineers. In a 5-4 decision, the court held the federal government can only regulate waters with a continuous surface connection. The revised rule will take effect when it's published in the Federal Registers in the coming days, removes the significant nexus standard that the court invalidated in the Sackett versus the EPA case. It also removed federal jurisdiction from wetlands that cross state lines and revised the definition of an adjacent, to mean having a continuous surface connection, which is consistent with Justice Samuel Alito's majority opinion. The new definition is broader than some expected, said Ashley Peck, an attorney for the Holland and Hart LLP's water practices, because the Sackett case was only about wetlands, but the agencies removed the significant nexus test for all waters. EPA likely determined it would reduce future court battles by applying the ruling beyond wetlands. EPA is reading the tea leaves to some extent based on the court's broader holding, she said. I think that's probably was a good middle ground. You're never going to please everybody, but I think this is a very good effort that the EPA is to head off more litigation. Environmental groups and Democrats in Congress described the updated rule a faithful execution of the court ruling, even though they say the policy will remove protections from millions of acres across the country. But key congressional Republicans and conservative legal groups said Tuesday and Wednesday the update resulted from a rushed process and overlooks major criteria the court outlined. The new definition could impact millions of stream miles and undermine the main goal of the Clean Water Act. Tannis Fox, a senior attorney with the legal group Western Environmental Law Center, said in a Wednesday interview. So that purpose has been undermined by the Sackett decision because the federal government is no longer able to protect the biological, physical integrity of these waters. Rick Larson, a Washington Democrat, is the ranking minority member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, said in Tuesday's statement he applauded the agency's work but disagreed with the court's decision. Ultimately, Congress needs to step in and correct this misreading of the Clean Water Act by the Supreme Court to ensure commodities continue to have access to clean and safe water. Meanwhile, conservative legal activists and leading Republicans on the key congressional committees call the rule an attempt to do the bare minimum required under the Sackett decision. So the drama continues, as I say. Anyway, they didn't take public comment, the EPA or the Army Corps of Engineers. This is me talking. I've been following this. You guys know I've been following this WOTUS deal and the Supreme Court deal, and they didn't do any public meetings or take any public comment from online or whatever, according to that. And I honestly think they failed. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes up with this hearsay. How about that? Anyway, tomorrow you guys need to be listening. I'm going to give a pair of tickets away to Concho, to the casino over in El Reno, to see Lady A at the end of September. So that's going to be a pretty good one. Elk City Rodeo Champions is coming up this weekend here, and there's more activities going all over Western Oklahoma. So it is Labor Day, and also, let me see here real quick. Oklahoma hunting and fishing regulations are out at Walmart, Elk City Gardeners Guns, Elk City Totally Outdoors, Elk City Outdoors, Elk City Atwoods, H2O Bait and Tackle, Elk City Sayre Farmers Co-op, Southbound, Sayre Texoma Tire, Talman's Feed Store, and Eric got it going on, and Keithley's Corner in Sweetwater. So,